Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I rarely get just hounded on the air or on the internet like I did yesterday morning throughout the day to the point where I'm like, man, I got to put the phone away here. I got other things I got to do. I never thought that this would happen in my entire life to what happened yesterday, where all I wanted you to do was have a good time and make the best of not a great situation, an inconvenient situation. Ross Bjork, where we went over some of the changes that he wants to make. Daryl Ryder coming up at 8:22. Ross Bjork, the AD of Ohio State, he wants to make some changes and add some things. And what he's trying to do is really make the best of a not-so-great situation with Ohio State himself, where they want to put Hang On Sloopy at just about any time they want to.
Organically.
Organically, yeah.
That was perfectly dropped in there. Not too much,
they
not
have
too
a,
little.
They will have a the towel that they will give away to several thousand people against Texas. Then you got to buy the towel.
Don't forget about the digital leaves, the Buckeye leaves.
They have the digital leaves that you can get, and they have a new song by this band called Camp. Yeah. Several A's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to play this at the stadium, and it sounds like Lumineers. Yeah, this is it. This is the song. Like, this is a commercial for Ohio tourism. This isn't a
it really does, yes.
Football stadium.
You can see them showing a bunch of the barns with the Bicentennial logo on it.
Yes. Yes, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Riding around in a convertible down the rural part of 77. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because that's where all the tourism is in Ohio. They always do that. And I'm like, all right, maybe Hocking Hills. But outside of that, I'm pretty sure the concentration of people that are coming into Ohio are not going to the Carrollton, Ohio.
You have no idea Wapakoneta. How many people are seeing Werther's carvings, buddy. You have no effing clue.
License plates from every state in Millersburg.
The Abe Lincoln funeral train draws a lot of people. That thing is really, really cool. I've seen it myself. I only at the time lived 45 minutes away as a child. Still. So, yeah, Ross Bjork wants to do this stuff. And I'm just like, guys, you know what? The television deal ain't ending anytime soon. You guys signed on the dotted line. Kevin Warren signed it on the dotted line. That's all they wanted him to do. I don't know if they looked for the devil in any of the details when they made this agreement between Peacock, Fox, and CBS for Big Ten football. You are the anchor store of the Big Ten as Ohio State and Ohio State fans. And so the money that they spend on the most money that they spend on their biggest time slot, those are the games you're going to play in. You don't want to play on Friday night? Fine. You only play on a couple of Friday nights compared to other Big Ten schools. Like Washington just joined. They're on like four Friday night games, it seems, this year.
And we don't want that. We don't want Ohio State on Friday
nights. Ohio State doesn't want that. They could play at other dates. They don't want that. Ryan Glassbiegel, who got a hold of my tweet, he pointed that out. So guess what? You get stuck at noon because you're the major property. And Ross Bjork told people in no uncertain terms earlier this week that, that Penn State game coming up in November, that's probably going to be a high noon game too. A big noon kickoff game too. And people were upset. And all I suggested was, guys, this TV deal ain't ending anytime soon. You might as well make the best of a not-so-great situation and own it. Make it your own, because it ain't going away until like at least like 2020, 2029 or something like that. Like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Here's Ross on the situation.
Now, you also plan to do a blackout game versus Penn State. Does that mean it'll be a night game?
I think we know.
You're sighing.
I think we know the Buckeyes drive big noon kickoff. That'll be a high-powered game. So I think we probably know what's going to happen around game time for that one.
It'll be at noon. Won't be at night.
They love the Buckeyes.
Okay.
And big noon is a big deal, right? They've invested in that time slot. So I think we'll presume it's a big noon. It's a 12 noon kickoff.
And you're going to have everyone wear black?
We are.
All right.
I agree with all you folks I mean, every single one of you, where it's silly to have a blackout at noon. It is very silly. This is the deal your school signed. They're the anchor. They're making money. And that's all I said. I said, you guys might as well make the best of a bad situation because it ain't going to change anytime soon. And I mean, I got cussed out like I haven't been cussed out in a long time. I've been cussed out like that by somebody who I haven't been sleeping with. I mean, it's unbelievable getting cussed out like that. And I was getting called a corporate sellout, and I go, no, I'm not a sellout. I buy in. But I'm just telling you, your favorite school is the quote-unquote sellout here. Ohio State agreed to all this. Well, we need to have a boycott. If you want to occupy college football, you can try Dartmouth and you can try Northwestern. It ain't going to happen with Ohio State. Ohio State's the Warren Buffett of college football. And they know, because football is the one sport where we're on their time, not the other way around, they'll play it anytime they want. If they think that that spot makes money, they'll play it and they know you'll be there. So it's an inconvenience. So you got to wake up early. They'll say, boo, effing who. We have billions of dollars that we're jamming down your program's throat.
Who's more powerful here? The network, which is dictating the time, that does pay all the money, or the actual program?
You would think it's the program.
You would think it's the conference. But they also took the money. They took the money. So the directive is going to come from the network. And I'd say, though, too, like, I know Urban Meyer talked about constantly how he wanted the in-game stuff to be better at Ohio State. And they did. They did a lot more stuff, especially with the intros. But he had talked a little bit about the wine and cheese crowd, even though he relied on the wine and cheese crowd for the money. It's like you want the money from the boosters and then you don't want them there at the actual game. Mm-hmm. It's a tough kind of thing to navigate. At the same time, I do think the coaches, I think they prefer the noon games. I don't think they want the players and their habits, their routines disrupted.
Waiting around all day.
And, you know, you're at the hotel, you're going through walkthroughs, you're trying to figure out the day. It's a long, long day. Plus, not to mention, and I know that most fans won't care about this, but if you've ever been on campus for an 8 o'clock game, 8:15 kickoff, and then you see what happens to a crowd or a fan base or a campus progressively throughout the day and how ugly any campus can get, especially Ohio State with their fan bases, especially during a rivalry game, what that's like. And then everyone's got to go home. Everyone's got to drive home. I don't think they want that.
I really don't think they want so either, but I don't think that the Big Ten or the television corporations are thinking about that. The television providers are thinking about that.
No. Fox just wants to maximize a time slot where they're not competing with NBC, ESPN, ESPN2, Fox.
CBS has their time. ESPN has
Fox
their
Sports,
time.
You know, they got it all over. The Big Ten Network has a game at primetime.
NBC wants to put on Peacock. And so they have invested heavily in Big Noon Kickoff. You are their major carrier. And they know that you're not going to not watch. You're not going to boycott Ohio State. You're going to watch Ohio State games. And they know that. They know it. So you will change your schedule around to watch Ohio State and pay off that freight for the advertisers so they can get the revenue dollars so Ohio State can reap the rewards, because it's a mutually beneficial deal. And I did have some people who, not cussing me out, who brought up some very good points. And my answer to it was, for the most part, yeah, but it's business. It's their business. I'm not saying it's convenient. It's not. I'm not saying it's fun. I don't think noon games, noon games are reserved for MAC schools against Big Ten beginning of the year, or lower rung or middle tier Big Ten games, SEC games. That's what those are for. Not for Ohio State, Texas. It seems funny and it seems misplaced. Totally agree with you guys. But that's the business that they've chosen, and they want it in that time slot because that's what they've invested in so heavily. And I did get somebody, I forget the name of them. It was back, but it was a nice back and forth on it where, well, why did Ross Bjork try to get the game moved? And my first thought was, did he? Or was it performative?
Right. That's what I wonder.
For the same reason as why there's politicians who are in downtown Cleveland pounding the table, yelling at the Browns when they really didn't come up with a plan to keep the Browns. But they have to get reelected. It's performative. It's the same reason why who was the state senator who wanted to pass legislation about no noon games? Because they didn't. They want their constituency to see that. It's easy publicity. It's easy, hey, I'm on your side with it. But, I mean, they're a friend of business, just like every single politician is. And if any one of these businesses, including Ohio State football, told him to shut the hell up, he'd shut the hell up. It's the same thing. So, hey, it's not a good situation, and I wish it was a little bit more flexible, because I agree with you guys. There's two big games that should be on really at noon in college football. Red River Rivalry, which I used to be able to call it something else. Red River Rivalry and the game. Those are the noon games.
Okay, what I want to know is how many
nights. This is a big game. It should not be at noon.
Just from Ohio State fans, and you could tweet us, because I know we're going to be moving on, but like, how many night games do you want? You don't want every game being at night, do you? I mean, that gets exhausting. When Urban first came here, there were a lot of night games. I remember I was doing, so selfishly, I was doing post-game show statewide, and it was very late. Those games are going 4 hours, and I'm just telling you, people drive back home from all over the state. And you don't get out of that place, especially with the traffic jam. Like, do you really want all those night games? I mean, maybe if you're never going, maybe you're just sitting at home and you're drinking. But
well, you want a couple of night games, but you do want night games that matter. OU on Peacock,
I agree,
does not matter as much as Texas. But they know, like, hey, a lot of people are going to be gone by the third quarter. It's not going to be that crazy of a situation. And Peacock gets their primetime game because they know they have Ohio State fans watching. And you will sit there and you will watch the game. And you'll probably just sit there because it's nighttime and watch the entire game instead of going out and doing yard work.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark.
Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we have some, it's not breaking news, but we have some big news for you. Ladies and gentlemen, a second person has been arrested for throwing marital aids at a WNBA game.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Young man named Caden Lopez, 18 years old. He was arrested after he was caught on video throwing the marital aid toward the court at the Phoenix Mercury game against the Connecticut Sun. This according to Fox 10 Phoenix. The object did not reach the court. Instead, it hit a fan who was at the game with his 9-year-old niece.
I find a lot of these hijinks.
I find a lot of that repugnant.
No, I find it to be hilarious.
Well, if it makes the floor.
I can't help my visceral reaction. I wish I had your philosophy on this, but when I see that symbol being tossed onto the court, and now the girls are starting to laugh. Like, some of the women are laughing about it. Sophia Cunningham, who this show has gone in-depth about, as well as the Lima household has gone in-depth about.
That's interesting.
I can't help it. My visceral reaction is to laugh. And I know this, that you have these ladies who are on the court. They are targets. They are in harm's way. But yet I can't stop laughing. So how do I get myself to grow up and not treat this as anything other than a funny joke?
Well, this guy, apparently, the adult male victim in the story here, they got hit with the aid, right? Mm-hmm. He said he was watching the game with his 9-year-old niece. Something hit him in the back of the head, fell to the ground next to him. He realized what the object was. He desires prosecution.
Okay. Well,
charges. Hell
we'll
yeah.
We'll let this be handled in the courts.
Well, there's only one guy I know that can handle it.
Counselor?
I like to say, sir, what were you thinking when you went into the lion's den alongside of the highway and purchased 4 of them green marital aids?
I mean, I have one question and one question only for
you. I'm just a small town southern lawyer who can barely fit into my suit jacket. But I certainly have some questions here, sir.
Well, I do have one question for Caleb.
What's that? No, it's Caden. I think his name's Cade. Caden.
Caden?
Caden.
How did you sneak something that size, that length, that object? How'd you sneak it past security?
Well, video footage shows Caden sitting in a seat. This is, we'll submit this into evidence. retrieves the green marital aid from his sweater front pocket, and then he throws it forward. He then stands up and immediately leaves.
Well, yeah, that's once he's already in. But, you know, that doesn't exactly fit in the pocket. And sometimes there can be a shakedown of sorts when you're walking into these places.
Well, you
got to
make sure no metal objects are on you.
So where exactly is he hiding this to get this in to the building? I'd like to ask some questions to young Kane.
I didn't know we were going there, but
speculation.
If you're a regular security guard, let's be serious here.
Yeah.
And you're doing the wand. Uh-huh. Well, first off, I don't know what it's made of, but I'm sure titanium. Some are made of metal, but this one ain't made of metal, right?
Well, according to my research, it can be made of many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've done a lot of research.
So all right, hold on. So I don't know if the wand's getting it, but if you're a security guard, now if you see a green one of them things, now you're going to go, get out of here. Or you're confiscating it, whatever. But, like, the first time or even the second time, you may not have heard of it, and your security are going to go, okay, buddy, just move on with your day. You don't know why he has that in his pocket. I don't really want to know why he has that in his pocket. They don't pay me enough to ask, and I ain't gonna.
Yeah, I had a buddy that would routinely,
carry those around in his pocket.
He would say as a joke, I never knew if it really was a joke, but he would routinely try to get these through TSA just to see if they would stop the line.
What a psycho.
And open up the contents in front of everybody.
You're all getting on the same plane. Everybody's going to see that whole plane ride there. They're all going to be wondering about
you. I think that was some of the fun.
This is all of that. What would Mr. Whiskers say?
According to the article, the fifth known occurrence of this happening. It says these all appear to be works of different people. The person who allegedly threw the one in Atlanta has since been arrested and identified as Delbert Carver. So, different guy altogether, doing his own thing, right? These are sleeper agents out in the field.
There was a second thrower?
Yes.
Wow. I do wonder, is this going to be an arms race? Because we had already seen at Buffalo Bills games.
More than an arms race.
That's what I'm saying. At the Buffalo Bills games, this had become a trend. So
you call an adult mart an arms dealer?
Will this kind of get things going a little more between the WNBA and the NFL? Is this going to become a baseball thing? Or will this be limited to just the WNBA?
It started in the NFL.
Yeah.
And just like anything else, I mean, every entity wants a little bit of piece of the NFL pie, and here we are. I don't know. Hopefully this is on what happens to this guy, because you really got to think to stop it real quick. You kind of got to throw the book at this guy, don't you?
You got to throw a lot at him.
That was a bad use. That one caught me there.
I think much like the NFL has attacked Christmas Day, where they're trying to take it from the NBA, right? I think the WNBA attacking back and saying they're going to take this from the NFL. I think it's a big, bold strategy by WNBA, the NBA, Adam Silver. I think they're all in on it, and they're trying to show that they can flex their muscle too.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know if you guys realize this. These are more easily accessible to everybody. You could go see them in places you never thought you'd see them. So, I think
at your local grocery store they sell.
I know they don't.
To this extent, but things that are used in the same area.
Well, some accessories, yeah.
I'm looking up a website right now. I don't care if it's a work one.
All right. Let's see what happens.
You can talk amongst yourselves.
I'm getting texts from Dan right now telling me, hey, shut down the studio.
Now, the question is, if you're the WNBA.
$65 for this thing. There ain't no, you're spending $65 to throw one of these things out there on the floor.
Well, that one's new and improved.
Oh, this one's $35. Well, you're still spending $35 to send one of these things out there on the floor?
You're looking at the market today. Look at the market 2 weeks ago and where it was at. I'm sure the uptick right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. And if you're a guy that just was in the green latex industry beforehand, making gloves and things like that, and you've got vats of green latex left over, I think you're getting in on it.
Kenny, does that one have a suction cup at the end, the one that I see there?
I'm sure. I mean, if you're going to buy it, you buy it with quality is what you do.
Well, you know,
Anyway,
yeah,
I'm moving on.
What does the WNBA do here? What because you know people are like laughing WNBA, but I kind of feel like WNBA.
I think they're laughing with.
Well, it depends.
You don't want people throwing anything out on the floor, no matter if it's a marital aid or if it's anything.
Carmen Policy would tell you that those can pack a wallop.
They wouldn't pack much of a wallop, is what he would say.
These might. There'd be a lot of walloping going on.
Can Mitch get no, he'll take me seriously, though. But can Mitch get Carmen Policy on the show to ask him what he would do in this situation?
He would be the expert, right?
Everything we say somehow comes back to the Browns.
We don't need shirt cannons anymore. Shirt cannons are so yesterday. What's today? These, what I'm looking at right now on Ken's computer screen.
I was going to rip on
especially that one.
I was going to rip on Jonathan and Nick, and here I can't now. So many questions haven't led to any answers. They've just led to more questions. Depending on what this guy gets, I mean, you got to think, what he's charged with, he's going to have to, I mean, you're going to have to give him significant community service at least. You gotta dissuade people from doing this.
Do they need to lay the law down and you know truly dissuade people from doing this?
Yes.
Is this a three strikes and you're out type of situation? Well,
here's how you know if change has been enacted, right? Mm. The next time you go over to Rocket Arena or any arena that you're in, they have the list of banned outside things that are allowed in, right? And they will put images up with the red circle and the slash through them.
They need to show people.
Yes.
Yes. People need to understand that this is not something you can casually bring into Rocket Arena. Color.
I wanted to hate Sophie Cunningham, and now I just can't.
Well, some of them will change color, almost like an orb. They'll continue changing color.
Like the whole Cincinnati comment, even though she messed it up, I'm like, I want to have a rivalry there when we get a WNBA team. I'm like, they're too likable.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark.
Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe a perfect game / no-hitter, either or, can be jinxed? Tone, 51 point what?
I thought you had a different poll up there.
What was it?
I thought the poll you had was, when the Guardians sweep the White Sox, will the afternoon show find a reason to be negative about the team? Are we talking about two different polls here?
I think that was just the personal poll that you guys ran here in the studio.
See, they don't watch yet. They will have a chance to. They don't watch during the breaks. They can't hear during the breaks. So you're giving them no context, which I don't understand. Like Keith's you took them out of context. I go, I didn't take anybody out of context. I listened to it live, and then I listened to it again today. I said I met him halfway on, if you wanted to get Hunter Gaddis up and ready, yeah, you probably should have got Hunter Gaddis up and ready. But the whole thing about Johan Santana and going long, they said, hey, we ain't got no problem. But you kind of said that you had a problem.
Listen, I have no problem with second guessing whether or not a reliever should have been warming up. If that's the focal point after the sweep and the energized, re-energized Guardians team that now I'm starting to think nobody in the American League would want to face come playoff time, and now a rotation that has been solidified where it seems like pick the day, we're trying to decide who's the ace. That's how good the pitching is, and they've got the best record in the American League since the All-Star break, and now all of a sudden, some of the guys are coming through with some nice at-bats in some big situations. That's fine if you want to talk about Hunter Gaddis. I will instead choose to get excited about a team that is ready to perhaps crawl out from the depths of despair and give us another October to remember.
Would you say that the Guardians are turning heads?
I think they're turning lots of heads. And I think some people are still stuck in arguments they were making during a 10-game losing streak, as if it's their first baseball season and they realize, they play 162 of these.
They play
so much more baseball. There's so many more games. The season's not over, apparently.
I want to point out to the afternoon show, I totally just disagreed with what your thoughts were with baseball. Whatever you said and when you said it, that's on Tone. What he just said is on him. I do not share that opinion. For the record.
You don't agree, you don't share what opinion?
They can say whatever they want at the time they want to say
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I have no problem with that.
You have a problem with that. No. You just Kenny, did three minutes.
You've taken me out of context, Kenny.
That's our new segment.
To steal a line from somebody else.
To steal a line
from another time slot.
You are.
You've taken me out of context.
Oh, my gosh. You have a coal miner's helmet on. That's how deep you are.
First, you stole coming in hot.
Let me get my monocle and make sure to put it very closely to the context and see if it's been taken out of it.
I mean, I listened to 40 minutes yesterday. There was nothing taken out of context, at least what I
heard
was saying.
And you would have thought it was the radio after we lost the World Series, after we blew the 3-1.
But I'm not arguing that.
That was the tenor of the conversation I was listening to yesterday while I was like, yes, let me give you some postgame. All right, we are back. We are back. What are we, a game and a half out of the wild card? Right. Are we six back at big bad Detroit? Right. Oh, my God. We're never going to get... We're now only six games back, and we get to play them. We
see, now you're making me upset because I totally disagree with the thoughts on vote, and they were upset because he didn't talk to Gavin Williams, even though that he's a former catcher, and it wasn't like he was a catcher 60 years ago. You have Austin Hedges out there, who's basically a manager on the field. I disagreed with the baseball thing, but... Now it's almost like no one can say anything to dare question the Guardians to you. Now you're making me take up for him.
You can take up for him. And if you thought that yesterday was a reason to be down on the Guardians.
It wasn't a reason. I'm not flip-flopping in the argument.
I can only speak for me.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
No, you can call me Larry Flint. I'm a champion of free speech for these radio show hosts here at the station. I don't support them in what they said. I don't agree with what they said, but I support their right to say it at the time they said it. I wouldn't have done it. Fair enough. But I support them support their right to say it.
I thought they were playing Taps as their intro music yesterday to officially bury the team in their season and their manager. Who I think yesterday, by the way, their manager doing exactly the opposite of what the afternoon show wanted them to do. I think bought more equity, bought himself more of a buy-in from his clubhouse than ever before. Those guys love that manager after yesterday. Letting their pitcher chase greatness, that resonated more than any radio host could have ever resonated.
You're just starting with
a team
with
if they were the manager.
You're starting fights with everybody from all angles, aren't you? You're starting it with all of us. You had some guy yesterday going after us who wrote a story about Shador. You have this going on. I mean, what's your crescendo? What are you going to do next? What's the encore?
I'm excited to see if this team can do the unthinkable, which is dig themselves out. They were done. Their season was over before the All-Star break. The season was over.
Yes.
If they pull this one off, what are we going to say about them?
Yes, people believed it. This show did not believe the season, but I don't think that
I was close to saying the season. I think I might even said the season's
over.
So
all of a sudden, the guy who says the season's over is Mr.
But I'm willing to not.
It's Carmen and Slider in the morning over here all of a sudden.
I am willing to not just, you know, maintain whatever my point of view was from a month and a half ago. Like they're playing like a different team. They're playing spirited. I'm not going to get stuck in arguments. I'm not going to get stuck in arguments I was having 2 months ago. Like, let's give them credit.
Jonathan.
So after wins, I hope the station and I hope all the time slots sound like a winning team's radio station. I hope we sound like that because I think we have something that could be developing here.
Guys, again, the show has our names on it. We don't agree with each other on. You can say what you want to when you want to. It's all there is. Good God Almighty.
Very nice that you're allowing them to say what they want
to.
Well, Ken is the arbiter of such things.
Stop it. Do you believe a perfect game / no hitter can be jinxed? The votes are final.
Okay.
You ready? 52% said yes. I don't believe you can, but I won't say it during a game.
I agree with you. I don't believe you can, but I'm also the same guy that if we're down by four runs, I will leave where I'm currently at and move somewhere else.
Mike, in University Heights, you have 10 seconds. Do you believe a perfect game or a no-hitter can be jinxed?
No, absolutely not.
There you go. Mike and Stowe, you have 10 seconds. Do you believe a perfect game or a no-hitter can be jinxed?
No, it's ridiculous. And by the way, Ken, absolutely...
No, you only get one. You only get one.
Well, I know what Mike was going to do. He's tried to do it like 3 days in a row. I can't believe we're still letting that guy through.
Oh, that's right. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You're right. You're right.
Hey, a little disappointed by that.
And on me, I didn't know. I'm just a patsy. I don't even use the stuff, Owen.
That's how it starts.
Podcast coming up. Just a taste. The first taste is always free of Mike and Stowe's calls. Got podcasts coming up 10:15 a.m. Eastern. 92.3thefan.com. I am surprised by the amount of people who think that this is a gift. Now, I take umbrage with the way that the question is asked on Twitter, to be honest with you. Because right now...
Who put it on Twitter?
Who didn't put it on Twitter?
I did not put it on Twitter.
So it was Mitch.
It was Mitch.
Mitch, what did you ask on Twitter? Is Mitch able
Mitch's
to help
mic
us out?
Is ready to go.
I'm okay. Here.
Mitch, what did you ask specifically on the show?
Is Shedeur Sanders getting the Friday preseason start by default or something he's earned?
Okay, and Ken, your problem is?
Well, you said it was a gift.
Yeah.
Well, default is different from a gift.
That's a much different wording. That is a much different wording.
It's not, Mitch?
I don't think it is.
So if I get, so I don't give you gifts for your birthday, I give you defaults?
In this context, it's the same thing.
Oh, in this context. Huh. Happy anniversary, Anthony and Sarah. Here's a default. Default on what? Default on a loan?
Yeah, I do think it's kind of interchangeable the way we're talking about it.
No, not the way you said it. You said it as if Kevin Stefanski wrapped it up in a box and goes, here's your chance, little guy. Go out there. And the way that it's presented online is exactly what it is.
Well, it's got to be somebody. Can they need you, somebody.
It's presented online as there's been some injuries. So now, that's not what you said.
You've had a wonderful career here at Odyssey, Owen. In your retirement, we've given you this nice default.
But it would have been the same if Huntley would have been the starting quarterback. That would have been a gift. Like, somebody's got to play. We've got to evaluate other players surrounding you. It's but not just the quarterback.
He wouldn't be the starting quarterback by default, would he?
No.
They have to give it to somebody. They can't not have a quarterback.
Huntley, it would really be a gift. It would really be a gift.
And I agree with you.
There you go.
That it would be a gift for Huntley, and it is default for Shedeur Sanders. But that's not what you said.
I mean, they're going out of their way. They're going out of their way to tell people like Albert Breer and others who are discussing this because they want to make sure that people understand this isn't sabotage, the reason that he hasn't been getting the reps. They're telling people that he's having trouble commanding the huddle, getting the plays in, lining guys up, and understanding the playbook. By the way, normal stuff that a lot of rookies have problems with. I mean, that is not something new, and this isn't a Shedeur Sanders, oh my God, but we can't act like Shedeur Sanders.
So then you agree he got a gift.
That's what I
do. You agree with what you said. So why aren't you, so.
Call it a gift.
Yeah, why isn't it called a gift online in the poll that we're running?
It's amazing. Owen and I were staring daggers at each other 3 minutes ago, and now we're in total agreement.
I still
agreement.
Hate you, but we're in total
we're
agreement.
We're in total
here.
Agreement here. Though that's the way Congress should work, and we'd be going a lot further on things. Anywho, so. You said it was a gift. It's not a gift. If Nathan said he was earning first team reps, here's your first team reps.
After two guys go down with injuries.
After two guys go down with injuries.
Hey, you finally got the promotion. Two guys are dead. But okay, not, you earned it.
Had he not earned these first team reps, Tyler Huntley would be starting this game.
Do you Snoop. Really believe? Thank you very much. Do you really believe? This is, and Owen just said it. Do you believe that Kevin Stefanski would just want to gift Shedeur Sanders the starting job on Friday had he really not thought he was capable of doing so? I asked you a question.
Yeah,
I'd like you to answer.
I guess I don't. Again, all 32 teams are going to be starting a quarterback this week at various levels, whether they're ready or
not. I didn't talk about other teams. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns.
And the other thing is,
answer the question, Senator.
32 teams are going to say,
answer the question.
I am. 32 teams are going to say their guy is ready. That no team is going to say, who knows? Let's smoke
Sir,
them if you
I'm
got
a friend
them.
Of 32 teams, like, and you are no 32 teams.
Yeah, I look
I'm
at
talking
I,
about the Browns end, and Kevin Stefanski.
I gotta say, in the end, I don't really care. I want to see Shador Sanders
play.
Oh, now
you don't care. What's the point of talking about it then?
I want to see him play. I said care. That. I'd like to see him be, quote, thrown into the fire. People like Louis Riddick and the dude from Colorado, Matt Smith. Yeah, they're all worried now that this is sabotaging his chances to succeed. Guys, he's a fifth-round pick. Fifth-round picks are not really supposed to be starting quarterbacks anyway. It's a miracle when Brock Purdy or back in the day Tom Brady take over. And they need fortuitous events to happen for the opportunity.
You see, you're being disingenuous.
The term Wally Pipp, the reason it happened is because, yeah, there was a gift. Wally Pipp went down and somebody stepped up.
Was Luke Gehrig a fifth-round pick? What? Where was Luke Gehrig signed?
I'm not sure. Back then, did they have 50 rounds?
I imagine Luke. I don't know if they even had a draft then, but I imagine Luke Gehrig was probably a coveted prospect at that time for the New York Yankees.
Oh, he's rated high.
Regardless, you're,
I had
you're
his
not,
rookie card.
You're not answering the question. I asked if he earned it or it was gifted.
I told you.
I don't think it was gifted.
I don't think he earned it.
I asked you whether or not Kevin Stefanski would put him out
care.
There if he wasn't comfortable with
I
him out
don't
there.
Ca- well, that, I
That's
don't,
what I asked you.
At this point, I do think a coach will always internally worry themselves to the point where they're missing sleep. Like, I hope he's ready.
But I asked about Kevin,
in the end,
not
he
a
doesn't
coach.
Know. In the end, he has no idea. He has no idea what we're going to see. Everything's been so controlled. My God, every time I see any of these compilations of the reps put together, I see 3-yard throw, 5-yard throw, 3-yard throw. Oh, 45-yard throw. Oh, would have been a sack, actually, in a real game. Like, who knows? None of these guys actually know. And hell, we've seen preseason games where Brandon Whedon is balled out. Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace. Does any of it mean anything once the season starts? So there's so many levels to this that these guys will tell you. Do you think Bill Belichick knew that Tom Brady would come in and accept? He was hoping.
Guys,
he was praying.
Is,
he didn't know.
This is where Lima does what he does best. It's a true credit to your skill and craft where Lima will talk around something. And then later on today, I'll start getting tweets saying that Lima hammered me in an argument. I go, well, he didn't answer the question. But he is so good at BS that you guys, because you're getting ready for a day, you're only half listening probably, you don't have to sit there and hear every single word that comes out of his mouth like I have to and try to pick it apart. Because you said it's a fifth round pick. Don't act like this is everyday run of the mill fifth round pick. It ain't no everyday run of the mill fifth round pick. Mel Kiper done cry on TV over everyday run of the mill fifth round picks. Okay, this is a guy who fell to the fifth round. This is a guy who was projected to go a lot higher than the fifth round. So you can't just say this is a fifth round pick. What fifth round pick does this and that when you know damn well, don't insult yourself
but
and don't insult the
Kenny,
fan base.
Why, did he slip to the fifth round?
For answers, I won't know. And we will start. We'll start to find out on Friday.
We know some of it that...
Do we?
That according,
do we really know?
According to reports,
media people,
that he was a disaster on the whiteboard, that he had trouble with a lot of the same things Breer just communicated. We had yesterday on the afternoon show, Albert Breer had a chance to go into great detail about all those reasons that he had so much room to make up with Dylan Gabriel. And if that was the case a few days ago, what all of a sudden changed that he's getting the first team reps in an actual preseason game at the start? What happened? Two guys went down. So, yes, that was a gift. He didn't magically make up all that space.
But if they didn't think he could conduct the offense, they still wouldn't put him out there to start the game. And you say fifth round pick.
Just listen to Albert Breer. Listen to why he's so...
Well, it's not Clayton Thorson. It's Shador Sanders. Clayton Thorson was never expected to go in the first round. Mel Kiper didn't start bawling his eyes out over Clayton Thorson.
I recognize that. Here's Albert Breer recognizing why he's so far behind Dylan Gabriel.
Shador was so far behind Dylan to begin with. But it's also a sign of the fact that, like, all the stuff you heard before the draft that Shador was behind was real. And so, like, the first real step for Shador is getting to a point where he can run the offense. I'm not even talking about making the throws or the post-snap reads or anything else. I'm talking about getting to a point where he can run the offense, the first-team offense, and not be a hindrance to those around him because he isn't caught up yet. And to this point, like, that's, in my view at least, that's sort of what's prevented Shador from getting in there. And it's why, for better or worse, Dylan Gabriel can get in there is because even if he's not making the throws, they can at least look at Dylan and say, like, the operation is going to be right, and we should be able to get good reps in there with him in there.
So they would have to have some level of, and hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. Wouldn't they have to have some level of confidence in him to go out there and play? It's not just some give, like, okay, you psychos out there, get what you want. You get your Shedeur Sanders. You know the guy personally, Tone. You've spoken to the guy in an outside of football sense. Have you ever thought that he'd be that way? No. So he's going to put him out there if he has not like total supreme confidence. It's the first game he's ever played in the NFL. But you're going to have to take, he's going to be taken care of, which I apparently he's gifted the position, but you guys just want to see him just go hog wild and let it rip and put him in positions that maybe he's not comfortable with yet at the NFL level. So that just, again, has no common sense whatsoever, but everybody tells me I'm wrong on that. Fine. You want him out there, but then you'd say that it's gifted. I mean, which one is it? If you want him to go hog wild, then damn it, he better have earned those first team reps.
I think sometimes, genuinely, you don't know until guys get out there.
So you just want to be entertained. You don't really want what's best for Shedeur Sanders. You don't want what's best for business of winning. You just want to be entertained.
I think Bill Belichick, if he was being honest, he didn't know that Tom Brady was Tom Brady until he got out there and played.
Tom Brady was a legitimate sixth-round pick. We're talking about a guy who fell to the fifth round. Tom Brady didn't fall anywhere. He was taken in the sixth round.
Okay.
Tom Brady didn't fall. Shedeur fell.
I think, again, we're being a little enamored in the name Shedeur Sanders. And when people started talking about his actual talent, they're like, this was never a first-round guy. That was stuff that guys like Mel Kiper propped up in their mock drafts. But did you actually talk to the teams? Because after the combine, it was pretty evident that no teams had him as a first-round pick. And how many of them even had him as a number two or number three? I think we found out because he fell to five. So nobody thought there was even value with him at four.
There's another QB competition going on in this state.
Not only that, Kenny, we are starting to get some reports roll in out of Texas. Not talking about the Longhorns and their big matchup in the opening
week
of the
Buckeyes,
but on the NFL level, and a former Brown who might be turning heads for all the wrong reasons.
Who plays for the Cowboys?
No. I'm talking about another NFL football team that happens to be in the Lone Star State.
Oh, God. You can't do that.
I'm just reading what's out there.
We're not entertaining.
On the internet.
I'm not entertaining it. I'm not going to do it.
Maybe some vindication for the decision makers here.
Vindication for the decision makers here.
Caught a lot of heat for saying goodbye to a certain somebody.
First off, it takes two to tango, all right? Second of all, I don't want to have that conversation. I think if you do it, as my mom would say, you're going to bleep in it and you're going to sit in it. Or you're going to bleep and sit in it. That's what she used to say. And you say what you say, the regular season will be here, boy. You better be watching out. I know I was getting the text, too. If you want to do it at 8, you are flying solo on that one.
His own head coach doesn't seem to be backing him up all that much.
All right, fine. Doing it at 8. We'll do it right now. Go right on ahead and do it.
According to Texans Cole Thompson.
I know Cole Thompson.
Oh, do you?
I do.
One of the losers right now of training camp is running back Nick Chubb. Quote, right now, starting Chubb might be the biggest red flag for Houston long term. Thompson writes, so far in camp, that burst needed to get through the second and the third level of the defense, nowhere to be found. Not only that, D'Amico Ryan's head coach of the Texans, when asked about Chubb, says, quote, guys age, and he's been through a lot. It's not always going to be the same as his early years in the NFL. Oh, boy.
That's what D'Amico Ryan said.
That is what the head coach said about Nick Chubb, all-time Cleveland Browns fan favorite.
I didn't know D'Amico Ryan said that.
Who averaged just 3 yards a carry last year. And didn't look like he had much burst with the Browns.
Apparently, if you would have just waited, Mitch was going to be the bad guy for you because he was going to bring this up in about last night. He's like, well, never mind now.
No, he just stole his thunder.
All right, let me say this before we go on to some other things here. And I'm going to get to the phones. 216-474-0092. If you want to go shooting your mouth off, you go right on ahead. I just want to let everybody know I'm not a part of this. So it's you, not me, you. If you think that Nick Chubb is finished up, you go right on ahead and say it.
Well, I told you.
We all dance around opinions as much as we can. I'm just asking questions.
Then say it. They said goodbye to him. I said, oh, man, they must they looked at last year. They saw where that was trending. Remember, they have all the medicals and everything. And, you know, a team that still had so many veterans on their team, even though it's a transition, I'm like, that tells you all you need to know. They've lost complete faith that Nick Chubb was going to have any kind of a resurgence. And I know that people were hoping, because Nick Chubb is so damn not likable, he is lovable. And the fact that he was an all-time lead-by-example guy in a locker room. He was not going to be a guy to take the mic, cut a promo, or, you know, bring everybody together to fire people up. No, he was going to do it by his work ethic, by the fact that he was going to, you know, put a show on in the weight room, that was going to be the cue to younger guys. And the Browns said, thank you, Nick. We appreciate your time. I'm like, man, they're even less optimistic that Nick Chubb's got anything left in the tank.
Well, the Browns have been the wrong one so many times before. I mean, even with the Kareem Hunt thing, like you and I were like, Kareem Hunt might be, and that's probably what's sticking in my head a little bit, because Kareem Hunt was a good running back. I have more faith in Nick Chubb than I had in Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt was good, and we were going, it's probably, he was brought in halfway through, and then he gets picked up by the Chiefs. He ends up playing well for the Chiefs, and a lot of people were going, and I said, hey, man, I got to call myself out on that. I thought he was used up. He's mm-hmm. obviously not used up. So I'm not going to double down because of the Kareem Hunt thing and go doubling down with Nick Chubb. I'm going to wait until I see something different, even though I know you want to speak about something here in a second. I've gotten texts. Yes, I have. You tried to make me do that. I think it was last Monday you tried to make me say something. I wasn't going to say it because I ain't going to say it.
We had boots on the ground. We do have boots on the ground. There's somebody that we know that was like, this does not look great.
Well, there were two other people that said the same thing. And I was upset by it, but damn it, I ain't going to share it, because I'm not going to be the one to be questioning a player like that, whether or not he still has any gas left in the tank. Because, frankly, I'll be sad if he doesn't have any gas left in the tank.
We had a lot of people said, not necessarily they were going to be Texans fans going forward, because obviously we're linked with the Watson trade, and they beat us in the playoff game, and now Nick Chubb goes there, so it's hard to stomach that. But at the same time, I definitely have buddies that are excited to see him do well. They want him to do well.
They are in no position at the running back spot for me to give them any faith. They are in no position at the running back spot. You let Kareem Hunt go last year. Kareem Hunt ended up paying off for another football team. Now, they had higher aspirations than the Cleveland Browns. I understand that. You've let Nick Chubb go. We'll see where Nick Chubb goes on that. Remember, you were supposed to replace him with Quinshon Judkins, who I don't know when he's going to be able to play for your football team. We'll get that figured out as the legal system plays out there. I mean, you do not get the benefit of the doubt in the running back room if you're the Cleveland Browns. So I think for a lot of fans who were upset that they didn't bring Nick Chubb back, I think that you're justified in that in so many ways. And as the season goes on, if he goes out there and he's just a nothing, and his best years are clearly behind him, then fine. We'll talk about it. But I'm not going to, 2 weeks into training camp, if I'm talking about all these other guys going, hey, you know, we're 2 weeks into training camp, let them get their feet under him, then I got to say the same for Nick Chubb, don't I, Owen? Don't have to say that?
Well, yeah, I think there's a difference when you compare him to Kareem between, you said Kareem was used up, right?
Yeah.
Nick Chubb was broken. I mean, he was just, he's physically been broken the last two seasons. That's something that you would hope he could bounce back from. I don't know that you can ever, especially the knee thing. The knee was just such a devastating injury that how could he ever come back from that and be back to his old self, his, you know, over 5 yards of carry self. But you don't have Quinshon Judkins. Would you take a flyer right now? Would you send a seventh?
For what? For Nick?
For Nick.
Well, they don't have Joe Mixon right now, so they're kind of stuck in a spot where it's like, well, who else do we have? Like, Joe Mixon is hurt, right? So they got Nick Chubb, they got Joe Mixon. Who the hell else do they have? They got they got a bunch of red names on their they're hurt. They got him and J.J. Taylor, Nick Chubb and J.J. Taylor, and that's about it. 216-474-0092. So you can offer a seventh. Or you could have just brought Nick Chubb back if you wanted to, which would upset a lot of people.
Be easier.
Malone in Lakewood. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Malone. Go ahead.
Nick Chubb, 100% dust. He was dust last year. Loved the guy. Heart and soul of the Cleveland Browns. Will always be a Brown to me. The guy is dust, man. He wants to play. A team's going to have to tell him he can't. But he will score a bunch of touchdowns this year. That's 100% guaranteed. He will be on the goal line. He will pound in. but he's got no burst. He's pretty much done. And then the second point I wanted to make, and you guys can let me know, the music for About Last Night makes no sense, guys. What is going on? It has nothing to do with being about last night or about. It's just like clips of like funny little clips. They don't really have anything to do with like rumors of last night.
Well, that's not music. Those are clips.
It doesn't have anything to do with like the news of last night. It just has like it's like random fans or guys.
Well, no, they're things that were said the night before in history, overnight.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sold. I love you guys.
Well, listen to Pig Vomit over here giving us all the stuff about last night. Don't give me that.
We have an infamous. What was it? Was it a city council meeting or a board of education?
It was a school board meeting.
Board of education meeting.
Yes.
And things got a little haywire.
The rumors about it that he couldn't play his
wife.
There
were personal shots. Now, we've not been able to.
That's out of line. My kind of school board meeting.
We have not been able to corroborate, you know, that statement. So we don't know the merits of that.
About
whether
pleasuring.
We have not talked to his wife about any of that, but that got people in a tizzy at a board meeting.
But if we had comments from her, we would also put that in the about last night.
100%. Mitch, did he even try to reach out to her?
Who knows?
Let's get to Josh on the road. Hello, Josh.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Hi.
Ken, you're the football guy. Surprised you didn't get this one, man.
What's the matter?
Their backup's Woody Marks, not J.J. Taylor.
Is Woody Marks available?
What is happening on the show? He's the next guy up.
Well, yeah, anyway, Damian. Wait. Yeah, Joe Mixon, who's listed as a starter on this depth chart, he's hurt.
Yeah.
You got Damian Pierce, who's ahead of Woody Marks on that depth chart. He is also hurt. Then I got J.J. Taylor there. Fine. I missed Woody Marks for crying out loud. Is that really what we have? Is that our problem here, Josh?
Texans.
I have a big Woody Marks fan calling in at me.
Josh, I got something for you. That's the last call we will take on the Houston Texans running back depth chart.
I thought we were going all
just
in.
Just putting that out there.
Wow.
If you want to talk Houston Texans
Josh,
wide receiver depth chart,
I am
we're
sorry.
Not doing that either.
Give Josh, him Landry's number.
Apologize to Josh. I am sorry.
I will not apologize to Josh.
I'm saying on my behalf, that
you
was
don't
all
get
Owen.
One from me.
That was all Owen on that one. The sheriff is in town.
And tomorrow, guys, tune in at 7:32 when we recap the Philadelphia Eagles safety depth chart.
Get to John and Wadsworth. Hello, John.
Well, that was I don't know how I follow those two awesome calls. But,
yeah, you don't. You don't. You just got to trudge forward.
So I was looking at right guard for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And here's one for you, Anthony.
Now you're the host. I thought he was getting rid of John. I go, John didn't do anything.
I nothing yet, man. So no, I just wanted to chime in on the Nick Chubb thing real quick. I just think, you know, the guy may be done. I mean, you guys made reference to the fact that you've heard from people that okay, he doesn't have that burst, whatever that whole thing is. I think that the mistake here is on a team that we have clearly said is devoid of leadership. You basically let Nick Chubb go over a matter of $750,000, and you know the Guardians, they re-sign Austin Hedges. He's a black hole on offense, but they use him as like an additional coach. Like, you know, he's their leader. You need that, and the Browns really need that. And so is he washed? Yeah. But you're talking about, you know, a couple of years ago bringing in Kareem Hunt as the third down guy to just get touchdowns. Why can't you use Nick Chubb that way so that you do have him in that locker room? I mean, they'll sign Deontay Johnson, but not Nick Chubb. I mean, that is a fundamental problem with the Browns. That's why we're pissed off at him.
Yeah, I wish I could defend him on that, and I can't. I really wish I could because I look at the rest of the running back room. It's like, okay, I don't have Quinshon Judkins available. You got Dylan Sampson. We'll see, but I don't want to hope too much. Pierre Strong is a nice hand, but obviously you're not going to go very far with Pierre Strong there. Jerome Ford should be a third down back. That's what bothers the Quinshon Judkins situation a little bit there. So, John, I'm not going to argue with you because, what, I can't – if I got 600 yards out of Nick Chubb this year, I understand that that's the end of Nick Chubb's career, but I also think, like, man, how much could I help my locker room with Nick Chubb still being there? I understand that, John.
Yeah
I can see that.
Exactly. And especially when you're talking about a team that's built on youth, and draft picks, and you're, you know, if you're either going to try and find a rookie quarterback this year in Sanders or Gabriel, and if not, that you're going for a quarterback in the top 5-10 of the draft next year, you want that veteran leadership and that example that we don't have. I mean, you guys have said it many times. You would like to have it from Myles Garrett, but you don't. So, I mean, and you know, again, you need the leadership, and again, $750,000 was the difference between the contract Nick Chubb signed and Jerome Ford signed. That is just unbelievable. That's a Dolan-esque move in cheapness to me. So, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you for the call, John. 216-474-0092. I didn't think that Nick Chubb would take over the segment.
Now, there's no part of that that was, hey, it's really not about the money. It's not about any of that. Like, they wanted to, quote, do right by Nick. Is there any chance? I know we don't hear a lot of that in professional sports where it's
so
cutthroat.
What's do right by Nick?
Give him an opportunity.
The only thing I can tell you, the only, when it comes to money, the only defense I can make of the Browns is, the only thing I'm told is it does take two to tango. Okay, you gotta have two to make a deal. And if the money was comparable, I think that Nick kind of saw where the team was going, and Nick kind of wanted a different situation to go and win. I mean, if this could be the last hurrah, Houston obviously has a much better chance to win than the Cleveland Browns. I know what Caleb Williams looks like in camp. That clip is going around of him missing the net and getting upset and frustrated over it. But the Chicago Bears are supposed to be a better football team this year than the Cleveland Browns. So those two teams that were rumored about them, one got them, one didn't. Well, one had like five or six guys in their room already. But one gets them, one doesn't, and both of those teams are supposed to be better. So if it's comparable, this is what the deal is. Like, I'm not going to give him $10 million a year this year. Like, that's not going to happen. But if it was comparable, yeah, he was probably going to go and finish it somewhere else. Because think about this. Think about we just had a line of guys. You talk Shador, you talk Dylan Gabriel, you talk quarterbacks. They get in. You just had a line of guys lining up to talk about Nick Chubb.
Immediately,
he's
yeah.
beloved here. And Nick Chubb, like, he's not going to get on the mic and say nasty things. Exactly what you said. He's not going to say anything nasty about Cleveland out the door.
No.
In fact, quite the opposite. So he's always going to be loved here. So say this is his last year in the NFL, and he plays on the Houston Texans this year, and he plays in a smattering of football games and ends up with 400 yards rushing or something like that. And it's just this kind of end of the career type of thing for Nick Chubb. We'll always wonder what if after the Minkah Fitzpatrick hit. That's a shame. But his legacy in Cleveland is solid. He'll be welcomed back to this stadium, the new stadium, any other stadium in the future, and people will want his autograph and want pictures with him and want to tell him how much they love him when they were growing up. That's what Nick Chubb's future is. So it's really no hair off anybody for him to go and play for the Houston Texans or Chicago Bears or whoever he thinks were to have a chance. I don't think there's anybody who holds anything against Nick Chubb. If anything, they'll hold it against the Browns wanted to go in a different direction. Again, if Nick wanted to sign, I think he could have been able to be signed here. Oh, well. And we wish him well. We got our other situations we have to worry about. Because that doesn't excuse anything with the Quinshon Judkins stuff now, does it? But you can look at it and say that all four of these guys are going to play with you someday. Play for you someday this year. So 20 reps is 20 reps is 20 reps, right? That's Michael Lombardi with us about 20 minutes ago. 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app. You want to go ahead and check that out. We also have the podcast coming up. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. But right? Presented by Extend Technologies. That's at 10:15 a.m. Eastern, yes.
Yeah, that's the next question is, when do they start gearing this up for getting somebody ready for week one? I know we're still very early in this process, but very quickly.
Are you? No. No, that Joe Flacco hasn't taken any reps, so I'm either saying that we're going to have ourselves a little bit of an August surprise, and somebody else might get it, which that means I guess Nick Wilson might end up doing a champion's pose. That I might just slam my head in a car door if something like that were to go down. I got to tell you, Owen's giving me the thumbs up.
Now we're talking. That's
unforgettable. Because I'd have to knock myself into coherence is what I would have to do. Clearly, none of this world is real, and I've either been dead for the last year, or I'm just I'm somewhere in a rubber room and I don't know it. That's what it would take for Dylan Gabriel to start week one. I'm sorry. I respect Nick. Love Nick. No. No. You wouldn't do that. Better not. But all four of these guys can play for you. So what he's saying is right. I mean, it's very hard, if not impossible, to develop two guys. But the reps are, you got this 40-year-old man. That's what makes it possible to do that. You got this 40-year-old man who you believe doesn't need very many reps. It's very difficult here. And you've made it difficult on yourselves. And you made it a little bit difficult for Browns fans. That's where I'm going, hey, man, just look at this as house money if you're a fan. You got two first-round picks next year. House money as best you can. Because if you think about it any other way, you're going to start to get really annoyed. Brandon in Painesville, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Ken, Carmen, Anthony, and Lima.
Hi, Brandon.
Guys, look, I think in a roundabout way, we're all pretty close in age. So let me take you back to 1999. All right, the Browns are coming back. All right, I'm a senior in high school. Okay. We have Tim Couch.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Couch is our man. He's going to take us to the promised land, right? But, Ken, Anthony, let me ask you something. From that year till now, when is the last time the Cleveland Browns had an identity? When was the last time we said we entered preseason, we entered the season, and we said we have a team, baby? We're ready.
I don't think we knew about it going into the year. I think 2020, they had that identity. We didn't know, and we certainly didn't know because no one was allowed at training camp, obviously. But like that was we're going to run the ball, we're going to protect the ball, we're going to eliminate turnovers, we're going to try to play tight defense. That was an identity.
But other than that,
we haven't had
every
one.
Year since Tim Couch.
Uh huh.
And that was kind of, hey, we're just being thrown together here to come back into the league, right?
Uh-huh.
So that, to me, that doesn't really count. From then on, it's been nothing but quarterback competitions, year in, year out. Mm-hmm. We can't get this right. We can't enter a season, period, end of story.
Well,
when are we going to get to be an NFL team?
When we get
a real, true NFL team?
I'm sorry, Brandon. I don't mean to sound annoyed to you. I just think the answer is so simple, is that when we find a quarterback that we can actually get behind here. I mean, look at the Bears. The Bears are not a great example. I'm just using them as an example because they're the most recent example. They're devoid, and they've had some weird, sneaky, good years because they've been a good defense, and that's been their identity. But they've always looked for that quarterback. And now they're going full bore into that quarterback where it's like, hey, man, this guy's either going to sink or swim. Look at the weapons we've given him. Look at the tight ends we've given, everything. And now we're going to find out because their whole identity is based around Caleb Williams. We are going to be that same way. And Brandon, I got to get to some other people, and thank you for the call. Their identity is somewhere in college right now. Their identity is playing at South Carolina or LSU or Penn State or one of those, or maybe Texas.
Lombardi might have watched his tape yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, their identity is in college because the Browns are going to end up doing the same damn thing we're talking about. You don't think you have wide receivers now? Eventually, you will have wide receivers. You will have a boatload of them. They'll do what the Bears have done. Especially if the Bears hit, you can guarantee they're going to do what the Bears have done. Mark those words. 3 years from now, if you get a quarterback worth anything, you'll have your Roma Dunze. You'll have your Cole Kmet. You'll have your Colston Loveland. You'll have him. You'll have your guys. They will build around that QB. Come hell or high water. Todd in Akron. Todd, hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking me on. He asked for an idea. That's what I'm calling about. You will never be able to get no identity without one person making decisions in your organization. That's the Browns' problem. You can't have multiple people making major decisions on drafting players.
Well, they say that it was DJ Moore's another one. I forgot about him. Who was making the decisions? I was told in press conferences it was Andrew Berry.
No, I don't believe that. I believe it's more people making those decisions. Yes, I do.
I think a lot of people, they always say it's a collaborative effort? Is all efforts collaborative?
They're on the same page.
All right. I mean, Todd, fair. Thank you very much for the call. I think you always want the buck to stop somewhere. Buck's always going to stop with the owner. He even said that. Like, eventually he's the one who answers for all of it. Thanks to everybody who joined us today.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find Your Balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some Flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark.
Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.